Our psalm for this morning, Psalm 118, is yet another of these psalms that has importance, not just for us as Christians, but for the Hebrew people as well. This is a psalm, 118, which is in a section of the book of Psalms, which the Jewish people always read at Passover. The psalms between 113 and 118 are always read during the Passover celebration that the Jewish people have. This is also a psalm for us as Christians, which has great relevance because it does offer some pieces that tie in with the life of Jesus. And some have claimed over the years this psalm in some ways is a summary of what Jesus came to do. Martin Luther, for example, called it my own beloved psalm. It is a psalm that for Christians is traditionally read, pieces of it at least, on both Palm Sunday and Easter. And actually, this year we are going to do that. We read it today on Palm Sunday. We're going to read it again next Sunday, on Easter Sunday. And I hope that, like me, you find it sounds a little different depending on the day we're reading. I find this for Scripture generally. I can read the same passage again and again, and depending on where I am in my life, what's happened to me, it sounds different. I take different meaning from it. So we're going to read this psalm again next Sunday and consider how it sounds on the other side of the cross and Good Friday. For today, Palm Sunday, as we are entering Holy Week, what particularly jumped out at me was the reference to gates. Obviously, one of the things we celebrate today is, as Charlotte and the other kids reminded us, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Well, how did Jesus get into Jerusalem? Went through a gate. If you've ever been to Jerusalem or ever get the chance to go, take it, for one thing. Don't pass up any opportunity you may have. I had the opportunity to be there for a month in June of 2009, and it was one of the highlights of my life being there. But what you see in the old city of Jerusalem are these big stone walls. Obviously, this was a time when cities were fortresses as well. They had to be. So these big, massive walls, some of the stones of which go back to the time of Jesus and Herod. But obviously, within these walls, you need gates. And that's the problem with walls. They bring security, but they're pretty constricting, just a wall. You need gates to go through them. And in Jerusalem, there are a number of interesting gates, all with interesting names. And the number of gates and where they are has changed over the millennia in Jerusalem. But for example, if you go there now, they have a gate they call the Dung Gate. You might guess what that gate was used for. It's the gate, it's the smallest, I believe the smallest of the gates. That's where they would take the waste and refuse and garbage out and throw it into the valley in that direction. There's a gate called the Jaffa Gate, which is on the west side of the old city. The road to Jaffa in the old days. This gate is of particular interest in the modern world because this is the gate in World War I through which British General Allenby came when the British captured Jerusalem or took it back from the Germans. So it has a modern relevance as well. On the east side of Jerusalem is a gate called the Golden Gate. Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, by all accounts, from the east, from Bethany, over the Mount of Olives, through the Kidron Valley, and through this east gate, the Golden Gate. Now, the current gate that's there dates from about the 5th or 6th century. But it, too, has a fascinating history. It is thought in Jewish tradition, and this comes as well from the prophet Ezekiel, that the east gate, the Golden Gate, is the gate that the Messiah will enter. And legend also has it as the Messiah comes through the Kidron Valley. There's all these tombs and cemeteries in the Kidron Valley because the tradition says as the Messiah comes through, the dead will be raised. Now, for Christians, it's thought this is the gate Jesus entered. Again, not this particular physical gate. It's a later gate. But that east gate Jesus comes through on this Palm Sunday. The gate is now closed. It was bricked up by Suleiman the Magnificent in the 16th century. But that's also part of the legend. And if you look at certain passages in Ezekiel, for example, you'll find reference to when the Messiah comes, he will break open this gate. All right, back to the psalm. Jesus comes through a gate into Jerusalem that day, setting into motion all the events we will be remembering and celebrating through this week of Holy Week, leading to the cross and then to Easter. Anyway, all of this got me thinking about gates, and I hope you heard the reference in the psalm this morning. Open the gates of righteousness to me, so I may come in and give thanks. This is the Lord's gate. Probably the literal reference in this psalm is to the gate of the temple through which you would enter to give your offering, your thanks to God. But it has resonance for us on Palm Sunday, for Jesus is coming through the gate of Jerusalem, setting in motion all the events to come. And yet this also got me thinking about gates more generally. Again, we humans tend to like walls. We live in a time, even in our modern world, there's lots of talk about walls, building walls, both literal and figuratively. Jerry's prayer request earlier, break down the divisions. There's all this division. What is division? It's putting up walls between people for security's sake. What does Jesus come to do? He doesn't just ride through a gate. Jesus is the gate. I mean, that's the bottom line of what Jesus came to do. The wall that we, each of us, have built between ourselves and God, Jesus comes to be a gate. A gateway through between us and God, and it could be argued between us and others. Jesus is the gateway. Walls are fine, but they're pretty constricting. You may have even noticed the reference in the psalm that said, I was in tight circumstances, and God led me out into open spaces. Walls can be pretty constricting in tight spaces. Especially some people build very constricting walls. But God is about open spaces. Gates that go through the walls. And let's be honest, human progress is because of gates, not walls. If you stay walled up in your city, you're not going to progress very far. Why does the city of Jerusalem have all these gates? For people to go through. For commerce to flow through. For ideas to flow through. For people to come and go. Fellowship, communication, commerce, education, all requires gates. Or else we'd still be living in caves with torches and eating raw gazelle or whatever. Progress demands gates. Jesus is a gate. If we are going to progress and grow in our relationship with God, we need that gate. That's what Jesus came to do and to be. And it's no coincidence, if you're questioning my assertion that Jesus is a gate, just remember Jesus himself said famously, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a gate. It's also worth noting the early Christians, before they were even called Christians, were called people of the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the gate. This week is Jesus being that gate, dying on a cross, rising from the dead, giving us the doorway, the gateway to repairing our relationship with God. So this week, I simply want to leave you with that image that comes from this psalm, that comes from Palm Sunday, the image of a gate. I invite you to do some thinking. Be like Charlotte. Do some thinking this week about gates, about Jesus as the gate. And particularly, I would invite you to consider this question. In your life, knowing that we all put up walls and that Jesus is the gate, in your life, is your gate open or shut? Amen.